there's going to be, in God's promise, he's going to make sure that there's a light to his people, a light. And of course, we know that when Jesus came on the scene, that's the qualification, or that's the thing that John recorded about Jesus Christ, that he was and come for the purpose as the light of the world. This was a coming up to that light, to keep that light dimly burning until the real essence of the full person of who it was referring to was the light. And of course, we know that Jesus came to be a light unto those who are in darkness. So those, that's some of the prophecy of his coming, and we'll look at some of that too as well. What does the Old Testament say about Joash? What does it say? The line of David almost was extinguished. 2 Kings chapter 11, we see this, and we'll be looking at some of those verses in chapter 11. But we also see that if you read 132 verse 17, it said the lamp of David was almost extinguished and yet wonderfully preserved. In 2 Kings 11, the hated and malice of Athaliah, the queen mother, the mother of Joash, was exhibited when her son Ahaziah was killed by Jehu. In the fourth reader, that's in 2 Kings 9, 27 and 28. Okay, Johnny. Okay, we see that he was killed by Jehu. This was a prophecy that went all the way back to Elijah and what took place there. This wicked grandmother was married to Jehoram, who killed all his brothers. Fifth reader, 2 Chronicles 21, verse 4. Okay, Ray. Okay, the next reader, 2 Chronicles 21, 22, verse 1, I think it is. Okay, we see as he comes to reign. When we look at this, he did not follow in the way of his father, but sinned against God in Judah. This left the throne open upon the death of Ahaziah. The royal blood was profusely shed. And as we look at that, we see what took place. As if all the dead were not enough, the queen mother made sure that all the children in line for the throne of Judah were killed. She did such a wicked thing because she wanted to rule with complete authority. That was her whole motivation. She was the one that wanted to be in authority and to rule with complete authority, with no threat of any heir whatsoever to reign with her. She also murdered the royal seed from the spirit of revenge and rage against God. She decided to destroy the line of David. What a foolish attempt she made. Why? Because God had promised, he had promised to perpetuate the line of David. And let me tell you something, any person that goes against what God said, they're in for some deep, serious problem, are they not? Can you imagine a grandmother killing her own grandchildren? We see down in Florida this case of this woman that killed her child. But, you know, that's terrible. And, you know, things like that, but how could this woman just lie, kill all her grandchildren because she didn't want anyone to try to usurp the authority or the throne? Athaliah did that. Look at her title in 2 Chronicles 24:7, the eighth reader.
Well, the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all his dedicated things in the house of the Lord.
Well, how did it classify her? The wicked woman. You could tell she was kin to Jezebel, could you not? Just as Jezebel was a cursed woman because of her wickedness and the things against God, Athaliah also is a cursed woman because she is trying to go in opposition to the will and the purpose of God. The main thing is to remember, as we look at this, is even though the one that she thought was in rule or authority, I thought she had everything going her way, yet she did not recognize and realize that God was working in the background. And so many times, you know, I guess that's what you call faith whenever we don't understand, we can't see. There's a song I heard the other day that says, when you can't see the hand of God, trust his heart. And that's very true, because if God spoke it, God deemed it, God will perform and do that which he said he will do. So as Athaliah reigned as queen of Judah after killing all legal heirs to the throne of David, all but one, and that is Joash. You see Jehoshaphat, you see Jehoram. This is one she married, Athaliah married, and then Ahaziah, Joash. Those are in the lineage and then the line of David, if you go back and look at that. The ninth reader, the line of David preserved by Jehoshabed, the aunt of the baby, Joash. 2 Kings 11, 2 and 3. So we see that they kept him 6 years hid from Athaliah, because if she'd got wind or word that they had him, they'd kept him in the house of the Lord. And if they'd got wind of that, she'd have had him put to death, or put him to death herself probably. You notice there in verse 10 it says, Joash was taken from among the king's sons, which were slain, and they hid him. Joash was the only seed of David remaining. Only one child. And David's line would have failed to have been the lineage for Christ, or the lineage of Christ kept succeeding. But we see that God was there. But God promises, and God, what he promises never, never fails. He had not forgotten his promise to David. His eyes was on that infant from the very beginning, on Joash. Jehoshabeth, the wife of Jehoiada, the priest, was also the aunt of Joash. In verse 2, it tells us, a sister of Ahaziah. By holding Joash and keeping him in the house of the Lord, he was under God's special care and protection. Not only that, but also a nurturing of that too as well. The ninth reader, David's words were made good to one of his seed. Psalms 27:5, I believe it is. When David penned those words, he didn't have any idea about Joash, did he? But see, God, in his own timing, in his own way, made that scripture a reality. See, the seed of David was bound up in one life. One life. Not only the seed of David, as we think about the lineage of Christ, hidden and unseen for 6 years, God placed that one life in the hands of a priest, Jehoiada, and his wife, who kept Joash in the temple. In the temple. Is this really important to us today? Well, of course it is. Of course it is. Thousands of years later, thousands of times it's important to us. One scholar says this. It says, it is one of the many attempts Satan made to exterminate the male offsprings and to make the coming one, the promised Savior, the seed of the woman, impossible. Had he succeeded through Athaliah in the destruction of the royal seed of David, the promise made to David would have become slap dab impossible. But see, Athaliah's reign, and she reigned there for 6 years, thinking that all were dead. But got another chapter to that book. Then we see the preparation and the presentation of Joab in Second Kings 11, 1 or 4 through 11. The 11th reader, who had that? Okay. Okay, look back at verse 4. It says, "And the seventh year Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers of over hundreds with the captains and the guards and brought them unto him to the house of the Lord." This is a preparation for revealing the new leader, the new king. These were men in office, religious, civil, military. He gathered them, made a covenant with them, and took an oath. Of secrecy from them. He showed them Joash. Can't you see, if as it were, the surprise of the faces of those who those select few were as they saw Joash? I can just imagine the anxiety and the whatever because of Joash being left to succeed the throne. They saw and they realized that there was hope in the promise of the seed of David. Jehoiada planned well the presentation of Joash. He skillfully divided and stationed the royal guard so that no possible harm could come to the infant king, verses 5 through 11. Jehoiada was beginning a revolution, and the people were ready to follow. So we see the presentation. The 12th reader, this is the presentation of Joab, king of Judah. 2 Kings 11, verse 12. Who had that one? 12, yes, ma'am, I see it. God saved the king. He brought him, he crowned him. They clapped their hands, signifying their approval, and they said, "God save the king." The term out of the original Greek there is "let the king live." Save God, save the king. Let the king live. So we see that the promise of God was there. Said he put a crown on him. This is kingly power was given. Gave him a testimony, this book, the law to guide them, him and them. And they anointed him, a token of spiritual blessings. This is added to the blessings of God to his life. And that's exactly what they did. It says, and then they clapped their hands, hands of joy, hands of relief from the cursed Athaliah. They looked forward to this, didn't know how it was going to happen, but now it's been revealed. Okay, when we see that happen, we see then the opposition of Athaliah, 2 Kings 11, 13 through 16. It says, and when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard, I didn't give that to anybody to read, did I? I don't think I did, no. 2 Kings 11, 13 says, and when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, treason, treason. Treason. Boy, she's a good one to be crying treason, is she not? Like her mother Jezebel, Athaliah heard the noise and went out to see what's happening. When she saw the king's place by the pillars that the king occupies, the guard and the trumpeters by him, and all the people rejoicing, she acted just like all guilty sinners. Look at verse 13. It says, what to say there? She came. And we see what transpired after that. Jehoiada ordered the officers to take her outside the temple area and to kill her. And kill any one who followed her as well. Verse 15 and 16, look at that, says, and Jehoiada the priest commanded the captain of the hundreds and officers of the host and said unto them, have her forth without the ranges, and him that followeth her kill but with the sword. For the priest has said, let her not be slain in the house of the Lord. So, we see that they have, the opposition was there, but then they had her put to death. The reign of Joash is in 2 Kings 11 and also 2 Chronicles 24. The reign of Joash began well and continued as long as Jehoiada the priest lived and instructed the young king. Everybody turn to 2 Kings 12 just a moment. 2 Kings 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, in the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash, that's so it's sometimes translated or wrote, began to reign, and 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zebah of Bathsheba. And Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Why is that significant? One of the most important works accomplished during the reign of Jehoiada was the repairing of the temple, which had been broken down by the cursed Athaliah. But here we see that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. I can't see my glasses. What's the importance of that? That's one of the things I want to bring out in this passage, in this scripture, because when we're talking about the influence we have, we never know what and how God can use us to make an impact on others. And I think sometimes we need to be plugged into that every moment that we're alive, because God desires to use us to help others along the way, to encourage others along the way, to assist others along the way, to help them to come into the realization that God may have a plan for their life that they've not even thought about. have not even considered. And that's why I say so many times that young people, you do not understand and do not know what their potential is, what God has in store for them. And sometimes God uses individuals, just like He used Jehoiada here as the priest to stimulate him and to help him in the process of life and to come into this position where he had influence over the rest of the people. See, Jehoiada the priest died at the age of 130. The 14th reader, 2 Chronicles 24, 15 to 16. In other words, Jehoiada was an influence, a great influence for the positive things of life. And even in the life of Jehoiashim, we see that his influence in his life shaped his life. And that's exactly, we don't understand what God may be working in our life, those we come in contact with. It may be a grandchild, or is it just a friend, or one of our grandchildren's friend, or something like that, how that God can use us, and especially at church, how God uses teachers in the relationship of the position they're in as teachers or leaders. And that's why I say so many times that we need to be very careful if we are a leader or teacher within the spiritual matters of life, because you never, never know what kind of impact you may be making on young lives. And when we are in that position and we put everything else before what God has called us or what we should be doing, we're not giving or not leaving too good of an influence. I've people that has in positions, they serve a while and then they get, I guess you call, depressed or get washed out or washed up or whatever, and then they begin to try to pawn it off on someone else and begin to miss the opportunity to teach or to lead, and that says a lot to a young child in a class whenever the teacher does not show up and they do not come the way they should. When we see this, we see that he was one who was faithful. He was faithful because he was a man of great influence. King Joash then, at this time, was over 30 years old and should have been able to lead his people in the ways of God. But he became a weak leader and listened to the princes who were idolaters. Soon the house of the Lord was abandoned for worship, and the high places were set up with idols before them. The wrath of God came upon Judah and Jerusalem. God in His mercy sent them prophets, but the people would not listen to them. The 15th reader, 2 Chronicles 24, 17 through 19. Do we see that today? Huh? I mean, you would think that mankind would learn a lesson and do it, wouldn't you? But this is what the reason they set up those groves and those places where you could worship, and that's what they called it, is for convenience sake. Let's make worship convenient, okay? Let's make it as easy as we possibly can. You know, there's a lot of churches today that's doing the very same thing. When we were on vacation in Eufaula, I went to a church there, and they had what they call, didn't have Sunday school, they had cell groups where a different group met on this side of the county, and this met on this side of the county, this met on this side of the county, and they just come together. They didn't have what we call a combined Sunday school, but they met in those cell groups. Well, this is, you know, it's, I guess it's, maybe it's good to try to do the best you can. But the thing about it is are we making light of the one of the most serious things I believe about what church is about, and that is a people coming together in a unified spirit, in a unified effort to learn from God and to learn the Word of God. And I think that's part of worship. If I study my Bible correctly, I see that worship is a family affair. It's a family affair from the standpoint of the physical family, but also of the spiritual family as we come together to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I believe that's a part of it. And this is what they've done. They tried to make it lighter, make it easy, and they fell into all kind of paganism and things of that. The death of Joash, is recorded in 2 Chronicles 24, 25, and 27, and also 2 Kings 12, 20. After the Syrian king returned and defeated Judah, Joash was murdered by his own servants and denied burial with the other kings of that day. His son Amaziah took the throne of Judah, 2 Chronicles 24, 27. Thus fell Joash, who began in the spirit, and I think we can see that because of the influence of Jehoiada, the priest. But then he ended in the flesh, or in the carnal makeup of who he was, trying to do it his way. We need to realize and we need to know that there are several men in scriptures with this same name. But as we look at this, we see that in the process of life and in his life, as long as he followed what God desired and God wanted, that which he was instructed to do, we see that God blessed him. And if you study scripture, you see that time and time and time again. But whenever we get away from God and get away from the teachings of God, get away from the Word of God and the thing that God would have us to be about, then we see a tragedy that comes in the life of those. So, when we think about that and the responsibility we have as the people of God, we make an impact on someone along the way. What does the New Testament say about him? What does the New Testament say about him? In Matthew 23:35, Jesus extended his warning from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias. This was not Zechariah the prophet, but Zechariah also who was killed in the court of the Lord's house. His father's name was Barachiah, which signifies the same as Jehoiada. This is the example Jesus used when he said he would send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you would crucify or will crucify. Then he recalled the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zacharias. Jesus goes on in verse 37 and give the foundation of the warning and warning of what he was saying. Oh, Jerusalem, 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 thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them that come, how I would have gathered you up as hen gather her chicks under her wing, but you would not. This is a direct correlation to what transpired in the life of Joash here and what transpired then. But as we look at this, we see that the time of references Jesus was using there, it was dealing with the time in Joash and what transpired in his life. And see, God in his infinite wisdom and mercy desires and wants us to be open to him and to literally trust him in every aspect of life. Look to him for guidance and direction and for help in those situations and times that we do not and cannot understand. So in our life, as we think about living, out, I guess we could say the impact of the Word in our life, the impact of the Word of God in our life. You know, there's not a person here tonight that cannot be an encourager for someone along the way. I believe that. I believe that every one of us can be an encourager and encouragement to someone along life's way. And we never, never know what kind of impact that will have on their life. God help us to be open to the will and the purpose of God. I believe that's what the Christian life is all about. as we're open to the will and the purpose of God, that He may work in our lives and through our lives, that we can be a blessing as He blesses us, that we can be a blessing to those we come in contact with. What a great opportunity. What a great opportunity and what a great privilege it is to be used of God. We need to thank Him for the opportunity, do we not? Thank Him for the opportunity and to cherish those opportunities and be found faithful in doing everything we possibly can. Any comments or questions? Oh, I know it, yeah. It's going to be, I'm looking for it to come, Brother Vernon, to this extent. I believe when a person, like it is in some other countries, I believe that when a minister comes to the pulpit to preach the Word of God, if he preaches the truth, it's going to come to the point where he'll be arrested. I believe that's coming, folks. Just like things that's happening, we see things happening today. These other, oh Lord, I don't know what you'd call it, absent-minded, whatever, passing all these ridiculous laws that God has already given us that we don't need to worry about. I mean, if we follow what God gives us, great things can happen. But when we go in opposition to the Word of God and the will of God, folks, we're headed for trouble. You can mark that down. And that's exactly the way things are going in our society today. God help us. God help us. Just like the thing with United Airlines. No, you can't have a Bible visible or a cross visible. You offend somebody. But you can have any other kind of religious material. Don't bother. Don't matter. But see, the Word of God says something. It says something because it speaks to people's sin. And people don't like to hear about that, you know it? They think they're pretty good old Joes. But I believe it's coming. I believe it's coming. As it is in other countries, I believe it's coming to the United States unless the Lord comes back. That'll be the only thing. And He could. He could. Any other comment? Any other question? Thank you for your time and attention. For those of you that shared in Scripture, appreciate that.